welcome to the Sunday Morning Linux Review with Matt Enders, Tony Bemis, and Mary Tomich.
All right. This is episode 58 of the Sunday Morning Linux Review. Matt's solo. Yes, that's right. You only get me today. Which, by the way, if ever the two of them are gone again, there will be no show recording. I'm not doing this again. All right? So,
Matt, what's happening with the kernel?
We had a release candidate on Friday, the 16th of November, 2012, at 18:12 Pacific Standard Time. Linus Torvald released kernel 3.7-RC6. This is what he had to say about it. Slightly less than a week, but since I'm leaving for vacation tomorrow, here it is. So we've got some architectural updates, mainly MIPS and Unicore 32 with a smattering of ARM64 and S390. The driver changes sound net USB along with some networking and MM fixes. I'll have a laptop with me as I'm away, but if things calm down even further, I'll be happy. I'll do an RC7, but considering how calm things have been, I suspect that this is the last RC unless something dramatic happens. The mainline's still at 3.6. The stable updates for the week are on Saturday, the 17th of November, 2012, 13:31 and 13 seconds Pacific Standard Time, Greg Crowe-Hartman released kernel 3.0.52 with 56 files changed, 455 files inserted, and 171 lines deleted. On Saturday, the 17th of November, 2012, at 13:31 and 56 seconds Pacific Standard Time, Greg Crowe-Hartman released kernel 3.4.19 with 81 files changed, 701 lines deleted, and 81 files changed, 701 lines inserted, and 263 lines deleted. On Saturday, the 17th of November, 2012, at 13:33 Pacific Standard Time, Greg Crowe-Hartman released kernel 3.6.7 with 89 files changed, 298 lines inserted, and 308 lines deleted. My kernel developer quote of the week comes from Greg Crowe-Hartman. He says, "I've been spending time this week reading specifications written for BIOS developers, and in doing so, I think I've found a group of developers that even BIOS developers hate, Windows developers. The number of workarounds that are recommended just to keep Windows from crashing, just to keep Windows from causing a BSOD is astounding. So the hierarchy of what class of developers, other than developers, look down on seems to be Linux developers, BIOS developers, Windows kernel developers. I can't imagine what it must be like to be a Windows kernel developer these days if even BIOS developers hate them." That was Greg Crowe-Hartman. All right.
Tony, what's going on with the Linux distributions this week?
This is going to be a really short show because I'm the only one here, so I've got no one to talk to. And I only did two stories. I only found two stories interesting enough to write about. So, and I can't figure out how to make DistroWatch go back further. So I know I'm going to miss a couple. So I apologize to all of those in advance that I miss. So first up we have Rosa, released on 11/12/2012 by Konstantin Kochurskin. The Rosa team is happy to announce Rosa Enterprise Linux Server Helium 2012 Server Operating System. It's based on a combination of package base from Red Hat, the world leader in the server operating system market, and modern open technologies from Upstream, and brand name Rosa Tools and Applications. Then, next up, we have Tails. Tails has been released. Tails is a Debian-based live system with the goal of providing complete internet anonymity. That's because Tails stands for the Amnesiac Incognito Live System. And it was released on 11/13/2012. Then, next up, we have Peppermint. Kendall Weaver announced the release of an update of build of Peppermint OS. It says, "We're proud and happy to announce the first respin of Peppermint 3 in both 32 and 64-bit editions. The downloads are live now via our standard download links. So, moving on, we have Parzix. Alan Berkuminian has announced the release of Parzix, GNU Linux 4.2.0, a desktop Linux distribution with the GNOME shell based on Debian's testing branch. Then we have, next up, we have Dream. Dick McGittis has announced the release of Dream Studio, an Ubuntu-based distribution featuring a collection of open-source applications for creating graphics, video, music, and websites. It's Dream Studio 12.04.1. Then next up, we have Minino. Miguel Arixio Buzado has announced the release of Galpan Minino, a Debian-based distribution for legacy computers, the ones made 12 or more years ago. And it was released on 11.17, and it is at version 2.0. Then next up, we have Kinamia. Its GNU-based Linux distribution is based on Debian desktop Linux distribution from Venezuela. An updated build version 3.1 based on Squeeze was released a couple of days ago. According to the project's website, the distribution is built in the spirit of social and technological policies leading to increased knowledge. It was released on 11/17/2012. Next up, we have Kwart. David Cordarello has announced the release of Kwart Linux 3.5. It's a lightweight distribution based on Crux with a custom package management tool. And it's at version 3.5 and was released on 11/17. And then, last but not least, we have Manjaro. Philip Mueller has announced the release of Manjaro Linux 0.82 LXDE Edition, lightweight desktop distribution based on Arch Linux.
The distro of the week, according to DistroWatch, calculated by website hits per day.
First up, at number 5, we have Elementary with 1368 and trending up. They must have had a release, but they were earlier than my list went back. Then we have Fedora in fourth place at 1398 and trending down. Then in third place, we have Ubuntu at 1705 and trending down. Then in second place, we have Magia at 2722 and trending up. Then in first place, we have Mint. Gotta love that minty goodness at 4984 and trending down. So those were the top 5 distros of the week. So we have no Mary for a review.
It's time for the tech news of the week.
And I said I only have 2 stories. The first one is FreeBSD compromised. On 11/11/2012, the FreeBSD Orga cluster was discovered to have been compromised. The 2 affected machines were immediately taken offline for analysis. Also, a large number of additional machines in the cluster were taken down as a precaution. After a detailed investigation, they found no indication that any packages were compromised, putting an end user at risk. They are recommending that all concerned parties read the full report at, link in the show notes. That page will be updated as more information becomes available. The FreeBSD base system was never at risk. Only third-party packages were possibly compromised. A developer with legitimate access had his SSH key taken. This breach was not due to a vulnerability or exploit in FreeBSD. If your system's third-party packages were not installed or updated between 9/19/2012 and 11/11/2012, then you have no reason for concern. Unfortunately, the integrity of any third-party packages available for installation between 9/19/2012 and 11/11/2012 or of any ports compiled from trees obtained via any means other than through svn.freebsd.org or one of its mirrors is unsure. There is no evidence to suggest any tampering took place, and we believe such interference is unlikely. As a precaution, however, we have to recommend you consider reinstalling any machine from scratch using trusted sources. That's if you got updates between those 2 times from third-party repositories. Second up, we have Red Hat developer calls foul on rising tide developer. Andy Grover, a Red Hat SCSI target engineer, has made a request on the Linux kernel mailing list for Nicholas A. Bellinger, the Linux SCSI target maintainer provide proof of infringement of the non-infringement of the GPL. Let's just call them Nick and Andy. Nick is a developer at Rising Tide, and Andy is a developer at Red Hat. Andy's first post on the LKML, Andy mentions that he's had no response from Nick and the Rising Tide System CEO, which forced him to bring this serious issue up on the LKML. Andy has demanded the open source code for supporting the extended copy SCSI command by the terms of the GPL. This is legally a particularly challenging question to answer. If RTS's version of the source code was separate all along, even though both projects were managed by Nick, then RTS has no requirement to give the new code to Linux. Lawyers are already involved, and RTS's lawyer has responded on the LKML thread. So, that was it for the news.
It's listener feedback time.
And we have a listener feedback line. And that number is 313-626-9140.
We actually had Door called us twice, so I'm going to play those. First up, we have the Door-to-Door Geek, Steve McLaughlin, who left us a couple of voicemail messages regarding our microphone. So here's the first one.
Hello, Matt. Hello, Tony. Hello, Mary. And of course, Mary, I'm going to be nice. I sound like crap right now because I'm calling into a podcast, which is acceptable. But I'll just ask you guys, whatever you're going to buy a mic next, please don't go to Target. Jeez, please don't go to Target. Please don't go to Best Buy. Go into Guitar Center and look for a sale. We can't sound like crap on a podcast. That's just not good. You gotta sound at least a little bit decent. And Lord knows, Tony tries to make everything sound great. How about we make his burden a little bit less by getting good mics? Just a shot in the dark. And I'll be happy to donate towards some kind of holiday charity to get you guys better mics. Keep up the great work. Talk to you guys soon.
Well, thanks for that, Door, but it's a little late. We already bought the mic from Best Buy, and we recorded last show with it, and this show is being recorded with it also because it's my mic. So Mary purchased it. Thank you, Mary, but it's the mic I use. So, and then now on to his second voicemail, which I believe is also about the mic.
Hello, Matt. Hello, Jenny. Hello, Mary. This is Door-to-Door Geek, Steven Glassman, one more time. In Android, application permissions are not a all or nothing. If you take responsibility and take control of your device, get root, you do install LBE Privacy Guard. LBE Privacy Guard is an application that can restrict individual access to things on a permission on an application basis. So you can say, application A cannot access my contacts, cannot access my GPS, but can access the Internet, while application B can access my GPS, cannot access my contacts, and cannot access the Internet. No matter what the application tries to do, this LBE Privacy Guard will stop it from happening. Now, if you're on a Jelly Bean-based device, LBE Privacy Guard has not been updated to work on Jelly Bean. There is a fix for it, and that is to ROM your device with a MIUI ROM. MIUI has baked into it LBE Privacy Guard to where you can monitor and control individual access on an application basis. So if you choose to not take control of your device, then yes, it is an all-or-nothing thing. But in this day and age, I feel like if you care about what is accessing stuff, then you should care enough to also take control of your device. All right, guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
All right, and that was Door-to-Door Geek, and it was not about the microphone. It was about our comment last week on all-or-nothing permissions in Android. And he wanted to let us know that that's not true. There is a program called LBE that you can use that'll let you monitor them on a little bit more of a fine grain. Then next up we have John Miller, who left this comment on our website. Just wanted to drop a note regarding the app permissions. So it's also about LBE. Why more and more apps seem to be following the policy of ask for the sky, I noticed the article gave no advice on managing it. I use LBE Privacy Guard to better control my app's access. After that, if it won't function because I've turned off, say, internet access for a wallpaper app, I remove it as it isn't needed. So, thank you for that, Mr. Miller. Then, next up, Chatter sent us this little thing here. And it was about, hi, enjoying the show. Hope there's a live stream this week. Sorry, Chatter, there's no live stream because it's just me. And it says, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, the setup profiles someone of note and describes what hardware and software the person uses to get things done. Recently, they had John Hess, a Debian developer, and on November 15th, they had Greg Phil Hartman, and I read them both. They were very informational. So if you head to joeyhess.usethis.com and gregkhusethis.com, or just head on over to usethis.com, and I'm sure you'll be able to find them. They'll be there. So then next up we have Chatter again, and it says, I'm not sure if you're subscribed to the HPR mailing list, but in case you're not, I'm forwarding the email about planning for the New Year's Eve show. There's info at the end for subscribing to the list. And the HPR is going to try and put on a 24-hour show this New Year's Eve, and I don't know if anybody from our show is going to be able to participate because I have to work New Year's. So, and New Year's Eve, I think. So, we'll see. We'll try and do something, though, I'm sure. Now, let's see. We have a Linux distro question. This was posted on our episode 32, Happy Birthday, Terrell. And it says, it is from linuxquestions.org. Someone had mentioned our review that Mary did of Hybrid Linux because someone was asking about it. So that was it. If you go over there and search up that topic, you'll be able to find that post. And then we have from Denning, he brings to our attention that he says, I don't know if you've heard, but Netflix is in Linux via Ubuntu PPA coming soon. So Denning's letting us know that you can get Netflix in Linux. And that is all the listener feedback we have for this week. There's not going to be any game show because I'd be playing it with myself, and Mary's not here to make it. So no game show, no outro music. I guess that's just the end of the show. So this is Matt Enders saying have a good week. See you next week. That's the end of the show. It's episode 58. Matt goes solo. Never again. Oh no. Bye.